your text. Genesis chapter 6. All right, here they go. Junior church. Just think, walking the same path your dad walked when he was. Back then, though, we was on the other side. We didn't even have this built on yet. We were on the old side of the church. Well, it is Father's Day, so we have a message that kind of coincides with that. But I want to say that everything I'm going to say about a father, or just as a human being, it would all apply to all of us. What the points I'm going to give you would be good whether you're a father, a mother, a woman, a man. You know, it go either way. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, the Bible says, "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, and for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein it is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee, and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he." Heavenly Father, we thank you for our fellowship time and the singing that we heard today. And now we thank you for your word. We thank you that you sent your son, Lord, to die for us, that we could have eternal life. And it's my prayer, if there's anyone among us, whoever they may be, Lord, that's never trusted you as their Savior, Lord, we pray today for their salvation, Lord, that you too can become their Father. And we'll thank you for that in advance. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The title of the message today is A Father's Influence. There's a lot of great fathers in the Bible that we could learn from, and I just, like, over the years, I've probably preached on a lot of them, but I like this one. This is great. Noah, you know, Noah had such a godly influence on his family, and it had a lot to do with the influence that he had received in his family. I'll show you in a second with that. But his Hebrews 11:7 says this. It says about Noah. It said, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear," that's reverential respect, "prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." And the key part of that verse there, he said he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. That means his family. He prepared an ark. We know this ark that Noah built was a pictured Christ down the road, a type, a typification of Christ, because God was about to judge the world, and the ark pictured Christ. Everybody that was in the ark was saved from the flood. They were saved from the judgment of God. And today, everybody that's in Christ, when we put faith in Jesus Christ, everybody that's in Christ is saved from the judgment that's going to come hereafter. And so, because there's going to be another judgment from God. And so always it pictures Christ. And that was great. And the point I like to make, though, about that, but here was Noah, that he prepared an ark to the saving of his house, or you could say to the saving of his family. You know, Noah was, we know Noah as the builder of the ark, but Noah was also, he was building a family. That's how this happened. You build a family. You know, he prepared his family. Listen, a family, in a sense, this kind of a family doesn't just happen. Man, I mean, you know what? You just go out there and you have kids, and that you're not building a family just by having kids. I mean, you could have, you know, not the kind of family that God would intend for us to build. I mean, you know, it's when you raise your children, and we all got raised, and you know, we got whippings, and we got this and that. But what was our parents really doing? They were preparing us for life. You know, you learn. When I grew up, it was yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, no elbows on the table, please and thank you. And if adult told you anything, you did it. You didn't matter who they were. And, you know, you just listen. You know, they were teaching us to listen, because that's, we see a breakdown of that in society today. Respect has gone out the window, and it all starts, listen, you can trace it back to the home. And people don't have respect, the kids don't have respect for teachers, the police, the government. It's because they didn't learn it in home. I learned it at home. I learned it, you know. But we're preparing our children. We're building a family. We're preparing that. And those things don't happen by accident. In verse 8, it said in our text this morning that I read, it says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Well, Noah just wasn't walking down the road one day, and he goes, oh, look, there's some grace. I found grace. How did Noah find grace in the eyes of the Lord? You know, there was a reason that he found it in the eyes of the Lord. You know, his father's influence, and it goes all the way back, you know, and I want to talk to you about that, why he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But there's a reason, and it wasn't an accidental thing, and it had to do with the influence that he had as a child, and then he became an influence to his children. So a real good question for the fathers, but even for the mothers too that are here, any of us. You know, are you preparing your family for eternity? You know, what we look at it like this. We say, well, you know what, we're raising kids, we're preparing our children for the future. Well, listen, part of the future includes dying. It does include dying and standing before God one day, and or it may in our lifetime, because of the way we're living, it the future may be the Lord's return. He may come in our lifetime. The Lord comes back. That's going to be something that we have to be prepared for that as well, knowing Christ, being in Christ. And so preparing our, you know, the question is, fathers, are you preparing your family for eternity? Now, how did Noah find grace in the eyes of the Lord? How will we prepare for the saving of his family? The Bible tells us in verse 9, it said, now, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man. That word just there could be righteous. I use it as number one point. Noah was a righteous man. It would be a just man. And, you know, Noah is he's a prominent figure in the Bible. I think he's mentioned 50 times in the Bible in 9 different books of the Bible. But I want to say that, you know, sometimes we look at the Bible and we see these guys, Old Testament guys like Noah. We look at New Testament guys like the Apostle Paul or any of the apostles, and we put them on a pedestal that's above what you and I can be, but they were just flesh and blood like we were. Amen. Noah was just a man. He was just a man like you and I were, that he found grace in the sight of God, and God said, Noah, this is what I want you to do. I mean, he was trusting God. He believed God. He listened to God. And so he was a human being, and he had faults and failures and things in life as well, but he was flesh and blood. He didn't do anything that you and I can't do. I guess I wanted to say that. The Bible says that he had 3 sons, you know, and got his 3 sons listed there. So he was a dad. He was same kind of problems dads you guys face today, raising kids up, you know, squabbles and this and that and family things and raising them up, trying to teach them how to survive in life and, you know, be something in their life. And then it says that he was a just man. You know, that, like I said, it means he was a righteous man. It's the first time in the Bible that word or phrase is used in the Bible, and it's used about Noah, that he was a righteous or a just man. Now, righteousness doesn't come from good works. Good works comes from being righteous. That means, you know, you learn this from God. Our natural man, we can't learn much from that, right? It comes from God in response to our faith in God that produces righteousness in life. We're not righteous because we do righteous things. We're righteous because we have trusted God, and that produces good works. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 7, I quoted a minute, that he believed God's word. He was like Abraham. That's what it said. It says about Abraham, and I believe this applied to Noah as well, that it was counted. When you believe God, it's counted unto you unto righteousness because you are believing God. And so for you and I, when you believe, when we believe it and trust Jesus Christ and confess our sins and trust Jesus to save us from our sins, God imputes his righteousness to us. I thank God I'm not going to stand up there one day and God's going to say, this isn't going to happen. You know, okay, well, we're going to weigh up your good to see if it outweighs your bad. It'll never outweigh, the good will never outweigh the bad. We're not getting into heaven because of that. We're getting into heaven because we trusted Jesus. There's no other way. And God took his righteousness and puts it on us. And God sees the righteousness of Christ. So we need that. And that's boy, isn't that great? I'm glad I don't have to work my way to heaven. We'd never get there. We'd never get there. Huh? I'm telling you, man, we would never make it. And so thankfully, we don't have to do that. Well, how did Noah know to trust God? How do you know to trust God? Well, Noah learned it from his father. If you back up in Noah's genealogy, his father's name was Lamech. Well, how did Lamech know to trust God? Well, he'd learned it from his father. You know who Lamech's father was? Methuselah, oldest man in the Bible. He lived to be the longest. That was Noah's granddaddy. Well, guess who his great-granddaddy was? Methuselah's daddy was Enoch. Enoch walked with God. The Bible tells that Enoch walked with God so much so that one day he was just walking, he was in fellowship with God, and God said, Enoch, my pastor used to say this. I don't know that God did say this, but he'd say, Enoch, we're a lot closer to my house than yours. Why don't you just come on and go home? He translated him that he didn't see death. He just took him to heaven. He never died. He didn't die. He went right on to heaven with God. That was Noah's great-granddaddy. Great-granddaddy Enoch, granddaddy Methuselah, dad was Lamech. What a family. What a family. A godly family. And look how much influence that had. See how it goes? Thank God when, and what a blessing it is when somebody you think, well, you know, I didn't have a father like that. But you know what? You can be the start. You can be the start. You can start. And then your kids and down the road, and they'll say, well, you know who my granddaddy was? You know who my great-granddaddy was? See, it does impact your family for generations. And what a blessing it is when generations that even here we see them coming in with the kids when they were, you know, little. And we got several of you here. And well, I haven't looked, Diane, any pictures of you, Diane, back way back. And Christine, little kids at VB. Which one of you got a bicycle one time? Diane got a bicycle, and she's just a little girl. Now she's got her kids. She got kids. Now she's got her kids. You're a grandmother. Right here in just this one little church. Huh? Man, I mean, generation after generation, they come up. Man, that's an influence. See, what an influence that he had, and that's why he walked with God. It doesn't mean, I mean, Adam and Eve raised Cain and Abel the same way. And, you know, one of them was a saved boy, but, you know, Cain, he went out and just that'll happen. But, boy, it's definitely going to happen if you don't have an input, a positive influence. So what an influence that we have. It makes a difference. I've been, you know, my family, my son's here, my granddaughter's here, so he's bringing his child to church. And, you know, same with my daughter, the, you know, kids coming up. Man, it's important. You have an influence either way, by the way. Huh? You know, you can, man, I've been around families that generations and generations of them, you know, ungodly, living ungodly, because that influence can be bad or good, a negative or a positive influence. But it's great when generations after generations are following God. What a blessing that is. So Noah was a righteous man. The second thing, Noah was a perfect man. It uses the word perfect in verse 9, and that means a blameless man. It doesn't mean that he was perfect in the sense that he never did anything wrong, but it means that he was blameless. Righteousness explains Noah's standing before God. Perfectness or blameless means it describes his conduct before people, before men. Not sinless, but he had integrity. In other words, his neighbors, they couldn't find fault with him, although some people seem to be able to find fault with about anything, you know, that they couldn't find fault with him. And I think every Christian ought to live their life this way, that, you know, as best possible. Say sometimes people still find fault with you, but they ought to live a life that's right before men. James 2:14 says, faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. Titus 1:16 says, they profess, and this is talking about people that say that they know God, but they don't. It says, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him. Like what they're doing is saying something else. Being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. See, there's a lot of people say, hey, I'm saved, they know God, but they don't know God. Because when you really know God and the love of God is shed abroad in your heart, there's going to be a result of that. You know, it's going to be works. It's not any, you know, there's going to be good works. It's done for God. But Noah was, in other words, you know, he set this example before his family. They saw it. They saw his good works. It told us down there in verse 12, it said, God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. I thought it sounds like a headline from today. I mean, look at the world we're living in today. But Noah found this grace. Noah was righteous. Noah was blameless. And Noah led his family by example in an environment that wasn't the best. Like we're living, look at the world that we live in today. Good grief. You know, we're trying to figure out what bathroom we're supposed to go in. Man, we got all kind of pride celebration, which pride is a sin, by the way, on top of that. But we got such a and wickedness going on. We were talking about some legislators that got shot, two of them killed and two of them shot. In our own nation, man, it's chaotic, man. Riots going on and burnings and this and that. This is the world that you're raising your family in. Trust me, parents, you need God. You need God, right? But what I'm trying to tell you there, you know, we can't say, well, listen, this is just the way it is and there's nothing we can do about it. Yeah, there is. There's something you can do about it. You can trust God. You put God in your life, first in your life, first in your family's life. Your children will see that. You can set the example. And so even all the way back in Enoch's day, you can look up Enoch's history, and it talked about the ungodly deeds and the ungodly talk, and they spoke against God in Enoch's day, and he walked with God in the midst of that. So listen, is it hard raising children? Hey, it's hard raising children in any generation. It's, you know, it's a responsibility, a privilege, but it's work, man, raising kids and all that. But it's a possible thing. Man, there's always been peer pressure. Y'all remember it, y'all, when y'all was kids, you remember that? Huh? Did your parents let you do everything that everybody else was doing? Huh? Did you always remember when you used to go there and mama say, well, if they jumped in a fire, would you jump in a fire? And being the smart aleck that we were, we said, yeah, right? We would say, yeah, we would do that. But you know what? It is hard, man. And I remember talking to my kids about it. You know, listen, they wanted to dress a certain way, and they wanted to talk a certain way. They wanted to act a certain way. They wanted to go everywhere, everybody, and they didn't understand why. Why can't we go all the places that the kids go? Why can't we look like the kids do? Why can't we do this? I said, because when it's all over with, you're not going to the same place them kids is going to. You're going to heaven, you know, and that's the reason why I'm trying to lead you to a different direction. But all the kids, we went through that. We struggle with the peer pressure of trying to fit into isn't it ironic? The natural man, our flesh, wants to fit in with the ungodly world. That's just the way it was. Oh, man, when I came along when long hair came out. The Beatles, man, the Beatles hit the scene. You know, I was in the third grade, man, the Beatles hit the scene, man. And their hair, when you look back at the Beatles then, it's just a little bit longer than normal, you know. It wasn't, And it was just like, oh man, am I, you know, everybody we wanted to do like that. And everybody, that was the thing you fought about, the haircut. That was the big battle when I came along. The hair, I didn't want my hair cut like it is now to save my life. So boy, when I got out of, man, I was a rebel, man. I had hair. Boy, Brittany, I put yours to shame. I had hair down to here, buddy, man. I look cool. Huh? I was cool, huh? Yeah, man, what's up, huh? Oh, man, I don't know. I'm hip, huh? Yeah, what's happening, man? Yeah, okay, huh? Biggest nightmare it ever was. I'd wash my hair when I come home. I didn't want to use the blow dryer. It took 3 hours for my hair to dry. I didn't tie it in a ponytail because I thought, well, if you're going to have long hair, why tie it up? So I just let it blow around. I worked outside. Took 3 other hours to get the knots out of it. Went in the Navy. They gave me a 4-second haircut that was cut pretty close, pretty shaved down. Uh-huh. And then I found out, well, my head feels good. I used to sit there and rub my head. My head felt good. Hadn't seen it that short. Huh? And then I found out something. My head felt better when I didn't have all that hair hanging all over. Huh? So now look, now I wear my hair like my parents was trying to get me wearing my hair when I was growing up. Huh? It comes around, man. It comes around. But you know, this is what, it's just pressure from the world. But you know what? My mom and dad made me do right. I couldn't do, man. Listen, I had really close friends, and they were grown. They grew up in good families. Their parents, they rebelled against their parents. I mean, fights and that. I didn't want to do that, man. I wasn't going to get in a fist fight with my parents over having my hair a certain length and having a big battle, man. I respected my parents. I was aggravated about it. I wanted to do it, do things, but I didn't get to do it. And I'm glad I didn't do that. I don't have that memory. I don't have a memory of that in my life, you know. And I couldn't go every place. My parents were just looking out for me. And then when my kids come along, I didn't want them to go every place either. You know, we learned that. But what was going on? They were preparing me for the future. They were preparing me to be a father and raise a family of my own. And so, here we are. We're that's what we're here for. We're here to prepare our family for the future. And that means everything in the future. And one day, you know what? We don't like to look at this, but one day, you know, we'll if natural courses go, we're going to die and our children will die. They're going to die too. We have to prepare them for that. I believe Noah faced some ridicule in the day we was living in, like we did. You know, oh, them people, they might, people, this world, the world's farther away from God now than it ever was. If you raise your family according to God, there's people going to think, oh, look, them people over there, they think they're better than everybody else. No, we don't think we're better than everybody else. We're just as bad as everybody else. We need help. That's what we think. But Noah, think about it. Here was Noah. He's building a ship out in the middle. He's building this big ship that God told him to build out in the middle of nowhere. There ain't no water in sight. There was, a matter of fact, about in the desert. And then people say, what is he doing? He's preparing his family to save his family in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of a desert. But he was laughed at in school. What are you doing? Imagine the kids. What's your dad doing, man? Y'all crazy. I'm sure they helped. What are y'all doing over there? We're building an ark, you know. Never had. It's possible that it had never rained up to that point. The earth was watered by mist and stuff at one time. It's possible it hadn't rained. And so they couldn't see it. So when you follow God, you're not walking to the same beat as the rest of this world. And that's okay. You know what? I don't want to walk to the beat of this world. Matter of fact, now I learned. It took me a while to learn that, but I know I didn't want to. You're not doing that. And don't want to be like it either. That's a good compliment in this world. Well, you don't look and act like everybody else in the world. Thank you, God. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you for that. So we all have that peer pressure. We have to say no to the world, but yes to God, and that's okay. That'll be the best yes. And then the third thing we see, Noah was a faithful man. Noah was a faithful man. Psalm 25:14 says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. That word fear means respect. Respect him, trust him. And he will show them his covenant. They're faithful. Noah was faithful to God. He was a faithful man. It impacted his family. Notice when they went into the ark, it was his sons and his sons' wives. That impacted Noah's family, impacted the wives of Noah's children. And when you walk with God, he speaks to you through his word. He speaks to us through his word. And God revealed his plans to Noah. God reveals what he wants to do to those that are his children. You know, we're not just servants. We're friends of God, the child, and we're friends, and that's a blessing, right? And so Noah, he was faithful to do what God wanted him to do. God said, listen, Noah, I want you to build this way. And Noah said, okay, I'm going to build it. Didn't make a lot of sense to him, but he went ahead and he told him what he was going to do. There was going to be a judgment coming, a flood. But, you know, he built the ark. But he also built godly character through God dealing with him. And he built a godly family. He raised his family up to honor God, to worship God. They knew about God. Boy, imagine when you're raised, it's a blessing. Imagine them, he was raising his kids and say, hey, it's going to rain one day. And they're going to say, well, what's rain? Because we hadn't seen rain. And it's going to flood. And you know what? And he built that thing for years. He worked on that ark. And the kids, you know, I don't know if they had, I don't know this. I'm just speculating. Maybe they had doubts. Maybe they wondered as to whether this was really going to happen. And one day, guess what? Started raining and the river started flooding and the springs started popping up, and the kids said, man, look, Dad was right. How many of you, your parents taught you something, your dad, today's Father's Day, we'll stick with the dads even though, huh? And you kept thinking, and you had doubts about it and you didn't want to do it. And then when you got a little, you know what? You said, how many of you now say, you know what? My parents were right. My parents were right. Huh? Guess what? That's what happened. It started raining, buddy, and that old ark started floating. There was people out there. Judgment was coming. They all thought it was too late. Huh? Dave, guess what? Dad was right, Daryl? I saw Brooke laughing. they were right. Yeah, they were. Dad, he was right. He was right. Boy, that increased their faith, though, because he was right about the things of God. He was right about what God said. He was right because God said it. And he could tell them, God said it. I knew it was going to happen. I knew it. And they saw that. His sons heard what their father said. They saw also how their father lived. They saw it. They saw it with their own eyes. And I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot more power in what they see than what you say. You can say it, but boy, when they see it. There used to be an old saying, I shared this the other day. Parents used to say, do as I say do, not as I do. Well, that's a terrible, huh? I don't believe it is, you know, this movie's for adults. Listen, if it ain't fit for kids to look at, it ain't fit for you. I'm telling you that right now, huh? You should lead by example. They need to see it in you. That'll speak louder than what you say. They saw his faith in action. They saw his obedience to God. He set this example for his family. There comes a time when they get old enough that they can do. But you know what? While we're raising them, we have the responsibility. And listen, when they got ready to get in the ark, man, by then, those guys were grown men. They had wives. I don't think Noah had to beat them with a stick and force them into the ark. They knew to get in. They knew to go in. And they went in. So we think about this for the dads. It's a privilege to be a father. It is. But it's a responsibility too. It's a responsibility too. You remember, somebody's watching you. You know, the most important people that are watching you, your kids, they're watching you. And they want to see what you're doing. And boy, you can lead by example, a good example or a bad one. But we pray with God's help and God's strength that we can lead our families by the example and get the wisdom from God. See, wisdom comes from God. And boy, living in the world we're living in, we certainly need it. And we certainly need to pray for our families. I encourage you, have your families in church. Boy, what a blessing. Bring them up under the Word of God. Have a church family. And just, you know, have God as our Heavenly Father. Amen. What a blessing. But anyway, we pray for you, Paul. We get done and as you come and honor, we want to remember our fathers, the ones that are living and ones that are not, and honor them today. Not an easy job, not easy as a father. We all look back and we think, man, I wish I'd have done this differently. I wish I'd have done that differently. The best thing that happened to me, I got saved when Danielle was a baby. Kyle wasn't born yet. Danielle was just a baby in diapers when I got saved. And I'm thank God I got saved then. And, you know, I had to learn a lot. I wish I got saved sooner. I'd have known more sooner. But, you know the old saying, smart, too late, smart, right? But I'm glad that I brought them up in church and they learned along the way, tried to lead them as best I could. Wish we could do things over again, but we can't. But just think about that for your own self. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. Man, what a great day that was. And we can, by asking Jesus to forgive us of our sins and come into our life, man, we can be saved.
Hymn of invitation, hymn number 29, At the Cross.